Well, we are on the fifth, well, our last Sunday of the month, which is our family Sunday, which means we have kiddos here. So, kids, if you didn't grab a bag out there, I encourage you to do so. Miss Lynn left me with something to share with you guys. So we have a little message for you guys, all right? So does anybody know what these are? Training wheels, right? Okay. And what is the purpose of these training wheels? So you don't fall and bump your head, right? Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, some people would say, right, they help you keep balance, right? But the right answer is that they help build confidence. They help build confidence. And the story that you guys are learning, they're working their Wild West faith. So in your bag, you'll find some of this information. But training wheels are not meant to last forever. You ride them, right, until you feel comfortable enough to take them off. And then once you have the confidence that you can stay on a bike without falling, it's time to put that confidence to the test. Dad or mom removes the training wheels, and then the other one gives you a little push to let you go. And you're just kind of a little wobbly out there, right? Whenever you need courage or just a little bit of confidence, you rely on God. And whether you're learning to ride a bike or give a speech in class or facing off with a giant who wants to kill you, God will help you to stand strong in the face of any challenge. Right? So the message for you guys from Miss Lynn is do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Let God give you the confidence to stand up to the giants. Let us pray. Father God, we just thank you for your word and for your message, Lord, that you give us of all ages. Lord, we just ask that you open our hearts and our minds to hearing you this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. So we are in the new season of Lent, commemorating the 40 days Jesus spent in the wilderness and was tempted by Satan. It was the 40 days prior to the startup of Jesus' ministry. It was the 3 years prior to his crucifixion and countless testimonies and miracles of people coming to the Lord. And by tradition, the season of Lent is drawing our attention to God through either giving something up or adding something to our daily rhythms as we approach Holy Week and Easter. This Lenten season, we're examining the statements that Jesus makes from the cross. And there are 7 quotes from Jesus in the 4 Gospels that we will be hearing over the next several weeks. So we will be fast-forwarding and jumping to the moment of Jesus' crucifixion, which seems like we are probably jumping a little too far ahead too soon, but maybe not. See, these days of reflection, and it is appropriate to reflect on these statements from Jesus to know that even in the hardest, the most difficult hours for him as human, that our God in human form still carried out his message to all of those who mocked him, to the soldiers who carried out orders, and to those who stood and watched. And as Pastor Trent mentioned last week, it's in these statements, these moments where we encounter Christ's humanity and witness his mortality. It's in these crucifixion texts where we are reminded that death is real, but it does not have the last word. It's in this statement today where we will hear and encounter the presence of God's provision with confidence, his authority with admiration, and his expectations as obedient followers. We will be reading from John today, chapter 19. So if you are willing and able, we will turn there and read it. John chapter 19, we'll be starting with verse 25 through 27. Jesus' mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene stood near the cross. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. This is the word of the Lord given to us. Thank you. You may sit. Woman, here is your son. Here is your mother. As we dive into this statement today from Jesus, I feel we need to be reminded of the scene that has brought us to today's text and statement. John writes more detail for us than recorded than any of the other gospels. In fact, this statement isn't in the other gospels. As scholars have agreed that John, our writer, comes from a more personal approach as the beloved disciple himself. So what has been written is from his personal experience at the cross. And I must admit, hearing and revisiting these texts over the next several weeks might be a little bit hard to be reminded of. But it is also here that we can truly understand and grasp these statements and see the provision and love that Jesus set before us. Jesus has been tortured and beaten with a whip that literally took the flesh off of his back. Pilate, thinking this would be enough for the people to satisfy them, but it wasn't. And Jesus wasn't finished yet. He was ridiculed, betrayed by the Jews. Jesus suffered publicly in front of the very ones that he had loved and been a part of for the last 3 years of his ministry. He's taking up the cross publicly and literally and is now hanging from it. And his clothes have been stripped. He's been mocked, spit upon, and beaten. Last week, we heard the first set of words as Jesus spoke and prayed from the cross. "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do." During what anyone would say is the most excruciating moment, Jesus raises himself up and offers a prayer on our behalf. Us. He prays for us. His forgiveness is always available for us to receive. And it is mind-blowing to me that he would sacrifice and offer himself from this tree, and yet he still remembers us. As he takes each breath and endures the pain, we witness those closest to him standing nearby. There is mention of four ladies, one of them being his mother, Mary, and a beloved disciple. And those are the two that we will be focusing on this morning. But that is the scene that we have before us. A small group of family and friends who have gathered around the cross. All within this small group have been united with grief, unbelief, shock, dismay, and yet the courage to stand strong alongside the one that they love. As Jesus is upon the cross, there is a moment where he looks down to the crowd and he sees his mother Mary and his concern for her. Jesus looks at his mother, "Woman, he will be your son." Let's check in with a moment with Mary. Mary, as Jesus' mom, had learned her lesson well as his mother. She could not cling and fuss and fret and ask him to be careful, as she experienced at a wedding a while back. A very proud Mary, aka his mother, noticed they were out of wine. So perhaps her son could help and do something about it, she thought. But Jesus replied, "Woman, what does that have to do with me? My time has not come, and I have more pressing work to do." Bit snarky, don't you think? Speak to his mother like that. Jesus was always intentional. And this connotation was no different. He addressed her as woman, not as mom or mother, but as woman, which, if you look back, was a very respectful meaning of the word, not as demeaning or an unloving dig to who she was, but one with an intentional purpose then and now. Addressing her as woman demonstrated her sign of faith as a disciple. Her role as mother will be towards others as her fulfillment as mother of Jesus changes. And here she stands near the cross, still with a mother's heart, and standing amongst the followers of Jesus. I believe there was a divine power to their demeanor of patience at this point of time. It's the only thing that makes sense to me. You don't hear any wailing or outburst, but there is a strong, silent contention. And what comes to mind is, my grace is sufficient for you. You know, it can be hard watching your kids grow up, taking these milestone moments. It can be hard seeing them become independent and begin to do the things on their own. And I miss teaching and caring for our kids. Now, if you're in the midst of it now, trust me, you will miss it somewhere down the road. I promise. Might not feel like it now, but you will. It can also be a blessing and a joy watching them become independent and work hard, helping those who need help, doing the things that you know are right and maybe yet rub a little bit wrong. It's also heart-wrenching when you see them hurt or being hurt by others. Your instinct as a parent is to protect. And it's also hard when the season comes and they know perhaps more than you do as a parent. At least they think so, okay? Maybe they do at some point. Some cases that might be true. But don't admit to it. It's a joy to see them blossoming and to becoming all that you hope them to be, living a life that God honors and walks closely with. It's the highest calling of a parent, I believe. I don't think Mary felt any different than that. And this week, Mary had to be rigid with tension. Rumors of plots traveling around the streets of Jerusalem from the moment Jesus had entered the city at the beginning of the festival week. Everyone was edgy and watchful. And there were more Roman soldiers around them than usual too, even for the Passover week. And the authorities were extra watchful for signs of unrest or even outright rebellion. And I believe that she was sure that there had been temple spies hovering at the corner every time she stood out, watching for Jesus, watching every time when a crowd would begin to surround him, her heart rate would begin to go up. It was the same Mary who was spoken to by Simeon when Jesus was only 8 days old. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. A sword will pierce your own soul. A soul pierce your own soul. A parent understands that when their child is at the mercy of someone else. She hadn't understood that comment completely then. She hadn't understood until now. For this was without question her most difficult moment as the mother of Jesus, as she must watch her son shamefully be stripped of all he has. as the soldiers are using his clothes as a prize in a game of dice. All normal parts of the crucifixion event, but this was her son. From Jesus' eye view from the cross, I can imagine with swollen eyes slightly gazing out upon the mixed multitude, noticing his mother, the one dear beloved woman who was chosen by God to raise and care for his son. Then Jesus speaks. Dear woman, behind this introduction, I believe, is much more than what was said, but perhaps implied. You were the one who gave birth to me. We have a shared DNA. You raised and fed and clothed me. You were there when I learned to walk and talk and eat, and watched me as I went off to school on my first day. You took me to the synagogue and on annual pilgrimages to the temple. You loved me as a mother only could love her son. And your heart is crushed, and your spirit is broken, and a sword has pierced your heart. But you can't see me as your son any longer. I must be so much more. I must be your savior and your redeemer. And our relationship must be different, dear woman. Don't look me at your son. Look to me as your Lord. For as your Lord, I can help you beyond the grief. As your Lord, I can show you where this is all going to lead. As your Lord, I can turn your grief for a son into adoration for a Savior. Jesus tenderly and compassionately provides, knowing his mother needs more to make it, literally and spiritually in her day. And who stands close at the hand but his one beloved disciple? He called out to John, who listened closely, and Jesus said, "You will take care of her, John." And John, choked with tears, I can imagine, put his arm around the shoulders of Mary. And he said, "Here is your mother." So at this moment, Jesus organizes a new relationship between his beloved mother and his beloved disciple. And John's role as a young disciple has now taken on an additional role of welcoming in and caring for others. All that Jesus had been teaching during his ministry is present more so now than ever before. What a great honor and testimony for John of his prudence and to his loyalty to Jesus. What an honor to be employed for Christ and to be entrusted with any of his interest in the world. There is a book called Leadership Jazz, written by Max Dupree. And in the prologue of it, it's a leadership book, and in the prologue of it, he writes about his granddaughter Zoe. And this is what he says. Zoe was born prematurely and weighed 1 pound, 7 ounces, so small that my wedding ring could slide up her arm to her shoulder. The neonatalist who first examined her told us that she had a 5 to 10% chance of living 3 days. When Esther and I saw Zoe in her isolate in the neonatal ICU, she had 2 IVs in her navel, 1 in her foot, a monitor on each side of her chest, and a respirator tube and a feeding tube in her mouth. To complicate matters, Zoe's biological father had jumped ship the month before Zoe was born. Realizing this, a wise and caring nurse named Ruth gave me my instructions. For the next several months, at least, you're the surrogate father. I want you to come to the hospital every day to visit Zoe. And when you come, I want you to rub her body and her legs and arms with the tip of your finger. And while you're caressing her, you should tell her over and over how much you love her. Because she has to be able to connect your voice to your touch. God knows we need both his voice and his touch. And that comes along with us as well. See, the Lord will never ask us to perform a task that he doesn't equip us with and the ability to perform. It may not be exactly what we envisioned or desired, but through him, we can accomplish it. There is, however, sacrifice on the part of John. And I want to remind us that life was much different in that day. There were no grocery stores or big box stores to purchase food or government programs to assist. John was a fisherman by trade. And this honor would require sacrifice to help Mary financially. Sometimes, when God removes one comfort from us, he raises up another for us, and perhaps where we might not expect it. From very early on in his ministry, Jesus made it clear that his death was not going to be the end. The words to Mary and John were reinforcing the need for belief. Belief in the one who said he was going to rise and have victory. Belief that he would still provide for them. Confidence he has in them that they could and will need to depend on one another as well as in Christ. See, what Jesus is showing us here is the importance of a spiritual provision. God is in the midst of our deepest grief, our questions, our lack of hope, our struggles, and yet he has confidence in us, providing us with what we might not realize we need. He knows we can do it. His divine grace is our strength. May we find confidence in that alone. Trust. Trust in the one who sees your troubles. Trust in the one who knows your every need. Here is your son. Here is your mother. This new relationship between the beloved mother and the beloved disciple says something else for us today. By trusting in him, we are able to build and welcome in the kingdom of God together. As both demonstrate love toward one another, the other is able to offer comfort and guidance and strength and ears to simply listen. For they both are going to need each other to get through these days of grief and struggle. They both are going to need one another to tell their story of Jesus. Their confidence will be built up by the other and strong as they lean in on what Jesus shared with them. The sacrifice John made when he accepted Mary as his own is a marker of us sacrificing for one another. As we sit with these statements from the cross, as this new relationship has been instructed from Jesus, we, as the body of Christ, the church, as we wait in Christ, should function out of reverence and grace as the Lord himself demonstrated to us. Forgive one another. Be devoted to one another. Be kind and compassionate. Live in harmony. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you. Serve one another in love. Spur one another toward love and good deeds. And encourage each other. The new relationship between beloved mother and beloved disciple is an open invitation for us to come into his presence, to encounter his provision with confidence, and to come with admiration in his authority. Knowing his love and grace has always been from his heart, even from the cross. And what a better way to remember and experience than with communion. So So I invite the worship team and those who are serving communion to please come forward to help prepare the elements. For we in the Church of the Nazarene offer an open table for communion, meaning you don't need to be a member to receive, just an open heart to receive what God has for you. There will be three stations, two up front and one in the back. And our tradition is to come with open hands as a response to receive what God has for you. And our servers will place the bread in your hand, and you can dip in the cup in the juice as a reminder of the sacrifice Jesus gave for us on the cross. And if you prefer, you can take a cup of both the bread and the juice back to your seat and partake as well. And all the bread is gluten-free. When the hour had come for him to be glorified by God, Jesus took the bread. And when he had given thanks to God, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat this, my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then after supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for you. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Father of grace and mercy, we come humbly before you in preparation of our participation in the holy sacrament of the Lord's Supper. We come grateful of your love for us, as you demonstrated throughout your life work. You extended your gracious provision for our redemption through the suffering of your Son, Jesus Christ. And may the sufferings of Jesus on our behalf be embraced with faith and thanksgiving by all who are here. And may your Holy Spirit accomplish in us that which is pleasing and acceptable to you. In your name we pray. Amen. The table has been set. Come and receive. Took him to the cross, but his love didn't end there. And he remains a compassionate Savior. As a sign of receiving what the Lord gives, we have a tradition to stand with our hands out to receive the benediction. If you are able to please stand and receive this morning. May we go and see Jesus' example of love and compassion and extend it to others as he has provided for us. May we help provide and offer the extension of grace and peace. Go in the name of the Lord.